1 Corinthians chapter number 3 this morning, and we're going to have you remain standing for the reading of God's Word if you're able to. Paul writing to the church of Corinth under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We'll read the first 9 verses together, then I'd like for you to read verse 9 with me aloud. Verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." Paul writes, "I, Paul, have planted, Apollos watered." Here's something you ought to mark in your Bible. "But God is the one that gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth, they're one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." And then I want you to say verse 9, it's on the screen. Let's say it together. "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Father, I pray now as we come to your word and the time where we're going to talk about this new year and celebrate all that you have done. We pray, Lord, that again you would be honored and glorified, lifted up. And Lord, we are reminded again from this text that you are the one that gives the increase, that we are simply ministers and servants, literally bond slaves, gladly serving you. And Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts today. We pray if there's someone here that does not know you as their Savior, that they would come to know you today, put their faith in you. And Lord, we pray for those who are saved, Lord, that you would help us to understand that time is short. And Lord, that we're not promised another day. And Lord, to use the time that we have to partner with you and to accomplish all that you would have us to accomplish for your glory. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. If you are a guest today, again, this is a little bit of an abnormal service for us. We are typically on Sunday mornings going through the book of the Epistle of 1 John, have been for some time, and we're concluding that. But this morning I'm preaching on a text that we are taking as our theme verse for the year 2022. About 5 months ago in my daily Bible reading, I came across this passage, and the thoughts, and especially the first part of verse number 9, jumped off the page at me, and I began to think about it, and I began to pray over those words for my own life, and also, of course, for the life of our church. Labors together with God. As I began to think of that, the Spirit of God began to prompt on my heart, even though we typically don't do a annual theme, but to make that kind of our vision and our heart's desire for this new year, that we as a church, as a body of Christ, would be laboring together with God. Not just for God, but may we be reminded that we are in this with God. There's a lot of things that the first century church had right. But we see in this passage that the same struggles that we deal with in the 21st century, they dealt with in the first century. And these Christians in Corinth had been distracted from the mission that God had called them to. And we need to see and we need to recognize and understand this morning and the days ahead that as the church grows and as the church diversifies, as we have seen here in the last few years, the temptation is always for us to become distracted from the mission that God has called us to as a church. And the longer that we're in this Christian journey, it's easy for us to begin thinking that we are just workers for God and forget that we are laboring with God for the gospel. You remember in Philippians when we were going through that little epistle, in chapter 1 and verse number 27, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he says this, "Only let your conversation or your manner of life, only let your manner of life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." In other words, that's the mission. The gospel of Christ, proclaiming the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is our mission. Can I hear an amen to that? It is our focus. And he says that whether I come, Paul says, and see you, or else I be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit. In other words, that this is your testimony as a church, that you stand firm in one spirit with one mind. And then he says something kind of like he says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, striving together, laboring together for the faith of the gospel. And let me just say, as I have said before, that I am very thankful for the spirit of unity that God has given to Faith Baptist Tabernacle. I'm so excited about all the people that God has brought to Jamestown, Tennessee, and Faith Baptist Tabernacle this year from all over the United States, from Colorado and California and North Carolina, and if I begin to name states, I'll forget them, Virginia. And there's so many people that God has brought here from different places, Massachusetts and up in the north. And if I begin to look around, yes, Noel, we don't know where you're from. You're from all over. But it's so exciting to be a part of. It's so exciting to see people like Miss Cindy Dean, who God brought to Fentress County all the way from the North Pole, no, the tip, the Northeast, and brought her here, never really hearing a clear gospel presentation until she sat in a service here and she was saved and baptized, and today is going through discipleship with Miss Karina. That is what it's all about. It is exciting to see how God brings a diverse people together and unifies them around the gospel of Christ. I want nothing more than to see God continue to do that. I want nothing more than for us to continue to partner with missionaries in our community, mission projects in our community, and missionaries around the world as we have done this past year. I have no greater desire than to see as people are saved and become a part of a church body that they begin to know and use their spiritual gifts. Because God has not called anybody or saved anybody just to sit and soak and sour, but He has called us to serve. He has gifted you to serve, and that is partially what this day is all about. I'm very excited about all those things. I'm very excited about all the people that God is sending us from all over the place, and we're going to celebrate some of that in just a few moments. But I'm also very aware of this, that Satan is not happy about what God is doing. That he is not just sitting by without attacking. He wants to divide. He wants to hinder the work of God. I'm very aware that he wants this just to be a meeting place instead of a true church. Too many churches are just meeting places or buildings where people come. The church is what we are when we leave here today. It's not a place where we gather. I'm very aware, as I remind you many times, that Satan wants this simply to be a museum of Christians rather than an active spiritual hospital where people are being helped and lives are being changed. We're aware of that, and I hope that you, I know that I am determined to fight against his attack. I'm willing to guard against his intent to divide. And I pray that this new year that we will be focused on, continue to be focused, I should say, on pointing people to Jesus Christ, to serving selflessly, to finding what it is that God wants us to do during the time that He has given us, as He blesses us to continue to give generously so that the gospel can advance and to proclaim the truth of God's word boldly and lovingly. So as we look at this passage, and it's kind of a reprimand passage, you say this isn't really the type you want on Sunday morning when you have a lot of guests here. As I say often, this is not because there is a problem. This is preventive maintenance that we do to make sure that these things don't come up. And what Paul is saying at the very end of the text is that we should be laboring together with God. But what was preventing the church at Corinth from laboring together? What was keeping them from fulfilling the mission that God had called them to do? And I want you to just notice three things this morning. And there is a sermon guide in your bulletin if you'd like to take some notes. The first thing that we see that Paul points out is childish traits. That there were childish traits within the body of Christ. In other words, people were not growing in their faith as they should. Look again at verse number 1. Paul says, "I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ." Now, we all love a little baby, right? It's wonderful to have babies in the home. Their laughter and their cuteness. And we were with some family this weekend, and the babies were the center of attention. But it is a tragedy when there are spiritual babies who have been saved many, many years, and they have not grown in their faith. Paul says, we're not able to accomplish all that God wants us to accomplish because there are people who are not growing in their Christian life. They no longer serve. They no longer give. They're sitting. They're griping. They evaluate everything, but they're not in the game. Well, what a grief it must be to the heart of God when His children have delayed spiritual development. They should be someplace, but instead they are way behind. I remember when I was a new dad, and I remember Jordan and Jared and Jackson and the competition that parents always have to see if they're going to say mama first or dada first. And of course, dada is a lot easier to say. And plus, we would secretively get them alone and go, da-da, da-da. And I remember hearing those words. And those of you that are new parents know the joy that that brings to your heart. But it would not be the same joy if at 21 or 20 or 19 today they were to call me on the phone and begin the conversation with, "Hi, da-da." I'd be like, there's a problem here. We have some delayed development going on. And I think it's tragic as well in the church when we should be more in love with Jesus than ever, when we should be serving more than ever, when we should be growing up and generous in our giving as He blesses us and witnessing more than ever. And we're not. And so after years, Paul says, "I'm still having to feed you with the milk of the word instead of the meat because you're not able to bear it. You're not growing as you should." And let's just be honest, and I'll start with me. Shame on us for not being the witnesses that we should be after 10, 15, 20 years of being a child of God. For not being, not serving, for not finding what it is that God wants us to do. And this year, our sub-theme is going to be this: each one, reach one, teach one. And I want you to pray this year that God would allow you, every person, each one, to be able to reach another person and to be able to teach them. To get off the, some of us just need to say in 2022, I am going to get off of the sidelines
and get back in the game. Why? Because listen, church, I believe with all my heart, and I hope you feel the urgency that is around us, the birth pains, so to speak, of the coming of the Lord. I hope you feel it, that we don't know how much time we have left. And even if the Lord doesn't come, that there are more people that we know in the last year and a half who are going on to eternity than we ever have in my lifetime. And that you and I are not promised another day. And what we are going to do for Christ, let us do it now. My mom and dad are here from Maine, and you've heard me talk about him a lot, but there's no one that I look up to and have more respect for than my father, who at 65 years old said, "We're not going to retire, we're going to refire, and we're going to go up to Maine and replant a church." And at 70 years old, they left the comforts of a ministry that they had established and started, and really started completely over. And it just wows me, and it challenges me to step out and to do what God has called us to do while we can. Life is a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Stop allowing Satan to convince you that he's finished with you, or that you're finished, that you don't know enough to talk about God, or that you're too old, that you've done your time, that you've served long enough, or perhaps that you have failed so much that there's no way God can use you. Listen, that is not a word from your father. That's a word from Satan. That's a word from the enemy to get you and I not to do what God has called us to do. Paul points out, first of all, childish traits. Secondly, their carnal thoughts. Look at verse 3. "For ye are yet," or "you're still carnal." And then he says, there's among you envying and strife and divisions. And again, I'm so thankful that we don't have that here. But as God continues to bless, it's something that we need to guard against, the jealousy. Paul calls out their carnal habits that begin, as Brother Austin pointed out last week in a great statement, when he said, "Think about what you think about. Think about what consumes your thinking." Why? Because the mind is the battleground for the spiritual warfare that we're involved in. It's won or lost right here. That's why Paul says if there's thoughts that come in, or imaginations that exalt themselves against God or anti-God, cast them down. Get rid of them, because it's won or lost right here in the mind. And here, this jealousy begins to come into their hearts and minds. Have you ever noticed the little things that upset children? The little things that will get them fighting against each other, especially siblings. Pettiness, Paul says, squabbles and divisions are a mark of carnality, a mark of not growing up. And I'm a young pastor, so I haven't had a whole lot of experience with division. But one of the men that I look to greatly, Dr. Adrian Rogers, who pastored the great Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee for many, many years, a church of over 20,000 people, I'm sure he had his share of problems. He said this, "I'm against the liquor industry with all of my heart and soul, but I've had far more problems in churches with carnal Christians than I have with drunks." Let that never be said of Faith Baptist Tabernacle. Guard our thoughts. The envying, the jealousy, they will eventually produce strife and divisions. Childish traits, Paul says, carnal thoughts, and then lastly, competitive talk. We see this in verses 4 through 8. Paul now begins to describe that was what was in their hearts and their minds, the jealousy, begins to come out in their thoughts and their actions. In fact, they start proclaiming their favorite spiritual leader. "I am of Paul. I am of Apollos." And Paul says, this is carnal. Notice what he says. Who is Paul and Apollos, but ministers or servants. In other words, it's not about the man. He says, some plant the seed, some water the seed, say it with me, but God gives the increase. The human instrument is irrelevant. And last week, as I was sick at home, you want to know what thrilled my heart? Text after text, comments after comments about what a blessing the sermon was last Sunday by Brother Austin. You know what my heart, just sitting there, and I had to even post about it, was so encouraged that even though I was sick and couldn't be here, the church wasn't missing a beat, the people were being fed, and I just thought, I'm so thankful that our teenagers each and every week get to be fed that kind of preaching and teaching. It's not about a personality. It is about Jesus Christ. It is about making much of Jesus Christ. And as our church grows and other leaders come, Satan will try to do this. He will try to divide the church. Well, I like Brother Chris's teaching. And by the way, I really like Brother Chris's teaching. Or I like it. I don't like it when Pastor Josh is gone. Or I like it when Andy preaches. Or I like Austin. I'm just going to go to the youth group. I wish Pastor Josh was sick more often. This is what Paul's addressing. I'm of so-and-so. I am of so-and-so. The truth is, you ought to come to church to hear the Word of God, not the opinions of a man. And as long as the person here is preaching the Word of God, expositing the Scriptures, then it ought to do something to your heart, and you ought to thrill and joy to be a part of it. Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 13. I know what you're saying right now. This is no shorter than normal. I'm trying really hard. 1 Corinthians 1:13. Notice what Paul says. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And look at verse 8 in our text. He that plants and he that waters are what? One. They're together, for we are laborers together with God. Mark it down. Paul says mature Christians rejoice in the total unity and progress of the church. They rejoice. Selfishness is the mother of division. Get rid of it. Get rid of the jealousy. Mature Christians are too busy concentrating on the gospel and the building up of the body of Christ. And so in conclusion this morning, I want to give you just three things that I hope and pray, simple steps that we can take this new year together as a church. Number one is this: examine your own pace of growth on a regular basis. Examine your own pace of growth. Don't look around at anybody else, but ask yourself, am I closer to God than I was last year? Am I serving Christ like I have in the past? Am I doing what God has called me to do? Are you growing spiritually or are you stagnant? Or can you think back in your mind to a time and place when you were much more committed to the Lord than you are today? I want to say, if you're there and you recognize it, that God stands with open arms and says, come home, I'm willing to use you, even today. Examine your own pace of growth on a regular basis. Number two, expand your knowledge of the big picture. Expand your knowledge of the big picture. You know, what are you talking about? Exactly what Paul was saying here. Stop getting focused on all the little pettiness. You ever notice this in your home that overall, step back from it, God is blessing us in a tremendous way, and we have so much to be thankful for as a family, and generally speaking, things are going so good, but you know what Satan likes to get us focused in on? That one thing, or that one little small petty thing that's going wrong. And the same is true with the church. Listen, this is an imperfect church made up of a lot of imperfect people. Somebody said, if you're looking for the perfect church, don't join it. You'll mess it up. This church is just a bunch of sinners saved by the grace of God, doing our best to stay close to the Lord and serving Him until He comes. And you have to understand that everything's not going to be perfect, but step away and look at the big picture at what God is doing, as we'll rehearse here in a minute, and say, I'm just thankful to be a part of the family of God and the work of God and what God is doing. And remember this, don't be committed to a man, be committed to the mission. Be committed to the mission. It is God that gives the increase. And then the third thing I would say is envision your reward at the end of life. Let me put it like this. Stop looking for the applause of man. If you're doing it for the applause of man, if you're doing it for the pats on the back, you're eventually going to stop doing it. Because men are men. As much as we try to encourage, I'll admit this, as our church has grown this year, I'm starting to see things that I was doing well a year and a half or 2 years ago, slip through the cracks if I'm not careful. You know why? It's just because as a church grows, that's the natural way things that happen. It gets more and more difficult. Don't do it for the applause of men. Look at the big picture. Get busy planting and watering. And remember, this is not my harvest. It's not your harvest. This is God's harvest. And He will use us all to give the increase. He says, lay up your treasure in heaven. Stop worrying about what everyone else is doing around you. One of my favorite stories, and I'm only closing once this morning, and this is it right here. One of my favorite stories is in John 21. Let me remind you of the story. Peter has denied Jesus, and he said, I'm going back fishing, I'm quitting. And Jesus comes to the shore and finds him and builds a fire on the seashore and begins the process of restoring him. How many of you remember that? Raise your hand even if you don't, so we don't have to go back there and preach that sermon. Jesus is restoring Peter back into fellowship with him. And, you know, do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. And then he gets through all of that and he tells Peter this at the end of John 21. Peter, you're going to die for the faith. You're going to give your life for me, Peter. And this is just hilarious Peter style. He looks over at John and he says, what about him? Is he going to have to give his life? What about him? And you know what Jesus tells him? What is that to you, Peter? Mind your own business. Do what I've called you to do. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. And I would just encourage you to leave today with this thought from this passage. Avoid division fervently as a church. Avoid it. Fervently. If someone comes to talk to you about somebody else, don't give ear to it. And remember, if they're talking to you about someone else, it won't be long before they are talking about you to someone else. Don't give ear to it. Avoid it. Again, there's none of this in this church that I'm aware of. Avoid it fervently and advance the mission humbly. Realize this is God's church, God's work. If anybody ever says, oh, that's Josh Grubbs' church or that's Fred Allred's church, quickly tell them, no, that's God's church. One of God's churches, and there's other good churches in this community who God is using who are also God's church. It's not about a man. We never want it to be about a man. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. We're not going to have a formal invitation this morning because we still have a little bit more to do. But I do want Matt to play for us quietly. And I want us, even though we're not going to come forward this morning, I want us to take a time of prayer in our seats. I don't know about you, but when I studied this, and it's been on my heart for several months, God began to work on things and deal with things in my own life. And we don't come to church just to come to church. We come to church to get help. That's why you ought to come and say, God, speak to me, change me today, strengthen me through your word. I wonder how many of you would just say this as we go into this time of prayer. There was something specific that God spoke to my heart about this morning through his word that I'm praying about right now in my own life. Would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. There's something God has spoken to me. Maybe it's my giving. Maybe it's my serving. Maybe it's my walk with God. Many, many hands. Let's just take a moment right now, just in the quietness, just to spend a few moments in prayer to the Lord. Whatever it is that he's spoken to your heart about this morning.